Thank you guys for serving. Let's give a hand to those who have been serving faithfully, our musicians, worship team, and the cast and crew as well, serving over the last 2 days. Let's give one more hand, shall we? Thanking them, thank God for them, for their ministry. I was told that the cast and crew came really early on Good Friday itself. Shalom, Gracians and friends who are visiting us as well. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you actually came for our Good Friday presentation either on Friday or Saturday? How many of you? Oh, many of you. A good percentage of you. I hope you have enjoyed the funeral services depicted through the presentations and through it explaining why Christ must die for us on the cross. I hope you enjoy it. Yesterday, I was in a presentation, and I heard one of the guests right sitting there. I was walking past, and the guest was asking his friend, "Why do you bring me to a funeral service? Is this for real?" Really, the guest was actually asking it right in the seat, you know. So I hope you enjoyed the immersive experience, and hopefully in the future, we have more of such an immersive presentation. Now, with the understanding of why Christ died for us, we will now examine the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, Jesus would have been the best teacher, teaching God's truth to the first century people, but he could never, never have been the savior of the world. Without the resurrection, Jesus may have been the most anointed prophet who spoke on behalf of God, but he could never be the Messiah of Israel. Without the resurrection, church, Jesus would have just been another ordinary man who was born and eventually died a horrible death on Good Friday. Therefore, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there will be nothing worth mentioning about the Christian faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational to the Christian faith and belief. I say it one more time. The resurrection of Christ is foundational to the Christian faith and belief. So that's a big idea for today. But the fact is that Christ, he did not remain in the grave. That's what we have seen here. He didn't remain in a grave. He didn't remain in a coffin. No, he didn't. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave as a dead man. Christ was resurrected from the dead, and a few hundred people witnessed his appearance after his crucifixion. And that is why more than 2,000 years later, we still celebrate this important day in our Christian faith. And church, today is the special day, which Christians call it the Resurrection Sunday. Can someone say amen? So the big idea for today's sharing is this. Christ's resurrection brings hope. It brings hope to those who believe in him. Very important big idea for all of us to focus on is through Christ's resurrection that we have hope. Hope because we believe in him. And we hope that the next 35 minutes, we'll use the next half an hour to explain the importance of the Resurrection Sunday. And I pray that the hope of Jesus Christ will bring a special encounter for all of us. But right now, let's look at the hope that Jesus Christ brought to an encounter with one of his disciples. And that disciple is none other than Thomas. Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 24. It says this. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, allow me to explain the context of what just happened among the disciples. You see, our Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples on Sunday morning, the first day of his resurrection. Now, it was also Christ's first appearance to his disciples after his death. However, for some reason, we don't know, the Bible didn't say why, For some reason, Thomas was not among the disciples who witnessed Christ's visitation that evening, that Sunday evening. And let's see what happened next when Thomas returned and joined the rest of the disciples that evening. In John 20, 25, it says this. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe." Very strong words by Thomas. "I will never believe." Now I can imagine, right, how shocked Thomas was to hear about Christ's resurrection and his appearance to the disciples. Maybe out of a sense of FOMO, right? Out of the fear of missing out. Thomas reacted with a demand to see and to touch the place where Christ was wounded in his hands and the side of his body. And because of this incident, many in our Christian tradition have labeled Thomas as doubting Thomas, right? Now, how many of you are called Thomas here? It is just very unfortunate, right, that throughout history, they call him Doubting Thomas. Now, I'm not sure that if this label is fair to Thomas, given his need for facts to verify that it was indeed Christ that the disciples saw. Now, I'm certain that Thomas would have wanted to see Christ alive as much as the rest of the disciples, because Christ was Thomas's hope and future as well. Now, on the other hand, Thomas was an excellent example of someone who would not be easily misled by false impersonation. Now, talking about impersonation, recently, I've been receiving notifications from friends who have warned me that my Facebook account has either been compromised or impersonated by scammers. I show it right now, right, on the screen right now. These impersonators clone my Facebook account with my pictures, and then use it to reach out to other believers through Facebook Messenger. Now, these impersonators would even use Christian language and jargons to build trust and then eventually solicit money for their fake overseas ministry work. And I saw some of the screenshots sent to me by friends who were approached by these online scammers. And I must say, these impersonators are highly trained in their scamming tactics and approach. When I read the screenshot, right, they really sounded like pastors. I must give it to them. They know the Christian jargon very well. But they are impersonators. So if you lower your guard and are not careful, they can easily trick you. However, coming back to the story right now, Thomas was not someone who could be easily manipulated by impersonators. He would scrutinize the data and facts before believing. But the question is this: what data and facts was Thomas looking for? Well, Thomas was looking for two pieces of evidence. And let me explain to you what are the two. Number one, he was looking for the crucifixion marks on Christ's hands. And number two, the pierce mark at the side of his body. Now, allow me to read the passage where these two events occur and how they became the evidence that Thomas needed to believe. And let's examine right now the first event, the crucifixion of Christ found in John 19, 16. It says this: "So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross.
to the place they call the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified Jesus, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. So this passage tells us that the Roman soldiers crucified Jesus Christ. You must understand that by the first century, the Romans had perfected the science of crucifixion, which inflicted maximum pain for the one being crucified. And at the crucifixion site, the soldiers would use metal spikes, 12 to 17 cm long, to drive into the hands and the feet. And for the body weight to hang on the cross without tearing the skin and the flesh, the spikes had to be driven right through the wrist of our Lord Jesus. So the wrist areas were the best place to support and to hold the entire body weight on the cross. And to prevent the feet from dangling in the air, the feet were also nailed onto the cross with metal spikes. So you can imagine, right? You can imagine the excruciating pain that shocked the body when the metal spikes went through the bones and the flesh to reach the wooden cross. And church, you must understand that Thomas, he witnessed all of this at the crucifixion site. He saw how the metal spikes nailed Christ unto the cross. He knew that there had to be marks of crucifixion if Christ had indeed been resurrected from the dead. And that was the first evidence that Thomas was looking for. Let's move on to the second evidence proving that it was really Christ who had resurrected. In John 19:34, it says this, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water." Now, why did the soldiers pierce Christ by the side with a spear? Now, because of the extreme shock and the way Jesus died through crucifixion, his body would produce a collection of fluids around the lungs and the heart. And both of these liquids looked like water. And when a person had died of crucifixion, the soldiers, wanting to be very sure, right, they would then pierce the body to check for the blood and the liquids to double confirm that he was indeed dead. So therefore, the blood and fluids that came out of Jesus' body confirmed that he had indeed died. So Thomas, he saw everything that day on Good Friday itself, and he knew that Christ's body was pierced by his side. And he wanted to see this second evidence to be sure that the risen Christ was not an impersonator. And church, once we understand the background story for these two pieces of evidence, we can then appreciate Thomas's demand to touch the scars on Christ's body. Furthermore, Thomas did not expect Christ to be resurrected from the dead. As far as Thomas was concerned, in his mind, in his logical mind, Thomas knew that Christ was crucified and that was the end of the story. All of Jesus' powerful and anointed ministry had come to an end. So it was unthinkable for Thomas to imagine that someone could overcome death and stand before him with all the scars of the crucifixion. Thomas witnessed Jesus' crucifixion, how he was tortured by the Roman soldiers, how he died on the cross, and the site where he was buried. So you must understand that many things went through Thomas's mind because he did not expect Jesus to return from the dead. How can anyone overcome death? Why? Why did Jesus die such a horrible death and now come back again? What does all this mean? What is God doing? And I believe that Thomas's question, all these questions in his mind, are the same question that some of us, we are carrying in our hearts as well. Some of us are going through confusing moments where we too, we need clarity from God. Some of us sitting here this Sunday morning, like Thomas, we wonder what God is doing with our lives, isn't it? The situations that we are undergoing, what is happening to us, to my family, to my children, to my career? Yes, we want to believe in God, but our minds tell us otherwise because of the doubting voices within and around us. And because of our current confusing situations, some of us here, we need God's assurance, God's validation that He is still with us. Another group of us may be here asking the same question that Thomas asked. How can Jesus Christ be real and alive after His death? Is Christ really the resurrected Savior of the world like what Christians proclaim Him to be? Like Thomas, you're searching. You're searching for evidence that Jesus Christ is who He claims He is. So if you look at Thomas's story right now, in many ways, Thomas's questions are the same ones we have in our hearts, even though we don't openly share them with others. Thomas represents many of us because we have the same questions that need God's assurance, validation, and clarification. So how did Thomas then find his answers? How did Thomas cross over from doubt to faith in God? Now let's move on right now to see the second part of the story. It says here in John 20:26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, that means inside a room again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So what happened was this, that a week later, the disciples were again gathered behind locked doors. And again, our Lord Jesus appeared among them, but this time, Thomas was there. The last 7 days, I believe, were probably one of the longest weeks in Thomas's life, right? After he had heard the disciples' testimony of seeing Christ, he would have also heard from the women who returned from the tomb and had met the resurrected Jesus. And with all of this information in his mind for the last 7 days, right, Thomas would have been wondering, pondering, and struggling with everything that he heard the last week. So can you imagine Thomas now seeing Christ appearing right before him? And I can imagine Thomas being filled with joy, excitement, and at the same time, fear. Fear in seeing the resurrected Christ. So in the midst of the mixed emotions in Thomas, our Lord Jesus addressed him directly. And let's see right now what Christ said to him in John 20:27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Now, Christ asked Thomas to do what he demanded a week ago, to touch the scars of crucifixion on Christ's body and witness the resurrection power. You see, Christ's intent was not just to satisfy Thomas's curiosity, But Christ wanted to move Thomas from the state of unbelieving to that of believing. From doubt to faith. To believe that Christ was the resurrected Savior of the world. Now, what was Thomas's response to all of this? Look at verse 28 right now. Thomas answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." To this encounter with Jesus Christ, Thomas shifted from an unbeliever to a believer of the resurrected Christ. Now, the question is this. Why did Thomas exclaim the phrase, "My Lord and my God"? Now, in the context of the Gospel of John, the word Lord, L-O-R-D, was used at least 37 times. And the word Lord was a title of honor given to Jesus. It could also mean master. It could also mean sir, S-I-R, sir, because Jesus was the teacher and the leader of his followers and disciples. So a current day equivalent is likened to the church members calling me pastor, right? Because of my role as their spiritual leader and shepherd. So when Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord," he was referring to the fact that this person standing before him was indeed the person of the resurrected Jesus, who was crucified, died, and now standing before him. There was no doubt that the person Christ had seen and touched was Jesus himself, his teacher and Lord. But Thomas did not stop there, if you notice. He further proclaimed that this person standing before him was not just Jesus, the person Jesus, but he was God. My Lord and my God. Can somebody say amen? So Thomas's exclamation affirmed the resurrection of Jesus and also Jesus's divine status as God. So with Thomas's affirmation, let's see Christ's reply right now in verse 29. So Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, our Lord Jesus used his encounter with Thomas to give all future believers of Christ a beatitude. Now say with me, beatitude. Now what is a beatitude? Well, a beatitude is a blessing from God on someone who exhibits a required attitude or conduct. That means a blessing from God on someone who exhibits a required attitude or conduct in his life. Now let's look at this beatitude right now, given to all potential believers. Blessed are those who have not seen, that means not seen with their eyes, and yet have believed. Now this is a powerful truth. Powerful truth. There's a powerful truth behind this beatitude. Allow me right now to contemporize the beatitude to what we can understand today. It means this: blessed are those who do not have Thomas's experience in seeing and touching Jesus Christ and yet have the faith to believe in Christ. Let me say one more time. Blessed are those who do not have Thomas's experience in seeing and touching Christ but yet have the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. This promise is given because Christ knows that not everyone will have the privilege of Thomas's experience to touch and see Christ physically. Only the first generation of believers in Jesus' time would have had this privilege.
the future generation of believers will not have this special privilege. And this promise, this beatitude assures future believers that the lack of sight and touch does not negate the reality of Christ's resurrection and presence. Can somebody say amen? So the question, the important question for us today is this: must you see and touch Jesus Christ before you can believe in Him? Must you touch and see Jesus Christ before you can believe in Him? And this question is for both believers and pre-believers of Christ. Now, allow me right now to first speak to believers of Christ among us. You see, Thomas was a strong follower and believer of Christ until the crucifixion. And because of what he saw, his faith was shaken. Shaken because something tragic happened to his master and Lord. Thomas had a crisis of faith. He went through a crisis of faith in his heart until Christ revealed himself to Thomas and restored his faith again. And some of us sitting here this morning, we may be going through some crisis of faith situations in our life right now. And these situations have shaken you, confused you. And some of us may even be questioning, who is God in my life? And like Thomas, these are valid questions because the situations that you're going through right now or have gone through have adversely affected you. Now, for those of you going through a crisis of faith situation, let me speak to you right now. Have you considered asking Jesus Christ to walk with you through your difficult moments instead of staying away from Him? Have you considered allowing Jesus Christ to be your solution instead of questioning and doubting God in what you're going through right now? You see, my friend, Christ wants to show Himself to you the same way He showed Himself to Thomas. Christ wants you to experience His resurrection power that changed Thomas's unbelief. And church, Christ is the resurrected King, and He wants to bring hope to everyone who believes in Him. Christ is never far away from you if you allow Him to be part of what you are going through right now. Church, are you willing? Are you willing to allow Him to shift your unbelief to belief and to help you see that Christ is indeed the resurrected Lord and God in your life? The choice is yours today. The choice was for Thomas to decide. And this morning, the choice is yours as well. So tell neighbor on your left and right, tell them right now, Christ is here for you. That's right, Christ is here for you. Now allow me to speak to pre-believers among us. I believe there are pre-believers among us and those of you who are not yet Christians. And let me revisit the question again. Must you see and touch Jesus Christ before you believe in Him? Does it mean that Christ must come repeatedly to earth and die on the cross for every generation so that we can see and touch Him? The answer is no. The death and resurrection of Christ only need to happen once. Just once. The finished work of Christ on the cross, which occurred 2,000 years ago, is more than sufficient to resolve the separation issue between God and humanity. The fact is that all believers after Thomas will have to hear about the resurrection event through other means, such as what is happening right now, such as what happened on Good Friday through a presentation.
You see, God has given us other means to verify Christ's death and resurrection. For example, God has given us the ancient Bible, which records events from creation to Christ's death, His resurrection, and of course, Christ's second return to earth again. All these are written in the Bible, the scriptures. And God has also placed Christians around us to tell us how real Christ is to them. You see, Christians can share their stories because they have experienced Christ's resurrection power in their lives. Can all Christians say amen? So the follow-up question will be this. How? How do Christians experience Christ without seeing Him? Well, the entire process begins with us responding to Christ's invitation to follow Him after hearing His life story. You see, the Bible says this, faith in Christ comes from hearing God's word. And after we have heard Christ's story, God then convicts us in our hearts to receive Jesus Christ as our only Savior and King in our lives. And once we have done that, thereafter we begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And through our relationships with Christ, we align ourselves to His will and we fulfill Christ's mission for us on earth to be His disciple makers. You see, Christ has a purpose and plan for everyone on earth. And His desire is for you to be God's child and to walk in God's purpose for your life. Yes, the resurrected Christ brings hope and purpose to those who believe in Him. So tell neighbor on your left and right one more time. Tell them right now, there is hope in Christ. That's right, there is hope in Jesus Christ. Now I want to close today's service with a personal story that taught me that one's faith in God is not always dependent on physical sight. Now let me share with you a story. In 2005, I remember in 2005, I started my doctoral study at a British university. A major part of my doctoral study was conducting an empirical study and writing a dissertation that report my findings. So in 2007, about 2 years later, I was assigned two supervisors to help me with my dissertation. One was a primary supervisor and the other was a secondary supervisor, so two of them. Now I suspected that the university assigned me two supervisors because I was not the brightest student. And the program director, right, knew that I would probably require a lot of attention and help. So to share the load of supervising a slow student like me, right, they gave me two supervisors. But somehow, right, after 2007, I never had a chance to meet my primary supervisor as she was on maternity leave until 2009. So 2 years, I didn't see her, you know. So most of my early dissertation supervision was done with my secondary supervisor. So when my primary supervisor returned from her maternity leave, I worked with her for about 1.5 years before I defended my dissertation. You must understand that back then, we didn't have Zoom technology and all the correspondence was through email and phone call. And because I was at a later stage of my dissertation, I spent most of my time in Singapore preparing for it. And it was my first time meeting my primary supervisor when I arrived a day before the oral dissertation defense. A day before. So I arrived at the university and I met her. And I was shocked when I met my primary supervisor. I was stunned when I walked into the office and they introduced me. This is JR. I was shocked when I saw her because she was blind. So you can imagine when I was shaking her hands, she missed my hands and I knew something was wrong, right? And I had to hold her hands because she was blind. You must understand, 101 things went through my mind, right? When we sat down that day, as she started to prepare me for my oral defense, I was dumbfounded. As I wondered how she could have read my dissertation. Church, you must understand that my dissertation wasn't 10 to 20 pages long. It was a few hundred pages long. I sat there, and throughout the discussion, right, I could see that she had a good mastery of my dissertation content. And I was pretty impressed with her, you know. And she even assured me that I will be fine in my oral defense, given the work that I had put in. And I just sat there and looked at her. I'm like, really? So after the meeting, we went into her office to sign some papers before we ended the day. And that was when I went to the office, I discovered that she had an assistant who served as her eyes. And her computer was fitted with additional device to assist her work. I saw all of this. Oh, okay. So I was a bit more assured. And after leaving her office, right, I quickly pulled my secondary supervisor aside, right? I told him, I need to talk to you. And I shared my shock emotions with him. And my secondary supervisor looked at me and he smiled. He said, Wilson, you are one of the many doctoral students that JR have. I said, huh? Yeah, you are the seventh. She's supervising seven doctoral students. You're one of them right now. And he assured me, he said that JR is visually impaired, but she knows your work better than any one of us. And she's very confident of your work even before you arrive. You'll be fine. And true enough, my oral defense went very well and everything else was history, right? And I have learned that day that one doesn't need to have physical sight before having faith in something. My supervisor had faith in me and the work that I had done, I had produced, even though she could not see. She relied on others to verify and validate my work. And similarly, this story reinforces the answer to the question I asked earlier. We do not need to see Christ's resurrection to believe that He is alive. We can rely on other means to validate Christ's existence, such as the ancient Bible and the people around us who have encountered Christ in their lives. And the fact is again reinforced by Christ saying, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Can somebody say amen? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I believe that God has spoken to different ones of you this morning through His Word. And let me first speak to believers among us. To all believers here, some of you have gone through or are going through some form of crisis of faith right now because of the situations you are in. But you sense this morning that God is drawing you to Himself. And you want Christ to walk with you, to shift you from unbelief to belief. On this Resurrection Sunday, you want to invite Christ into your situation. Allow Him to be your God, your strength, your hope again. And yes, you want to experience Christ's resurrection power afresh and anew. If that's you today, I want you to lift your hands all over this place. You say, God, on Resurrection Sunday, I want to experience your power afresh anew. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. If that's you, lift your hands all over this place right now. Say, God, thank you. On Resurrection Sunday, I want to experience your power afresh. And on my left, on top, yes, I see your hand, brother. Thank you. Yes, I see your hand on the top gallery as well. Thank you. That's why if that's you today, and you want to experience Christ as the Lord and God, lift your hands all over this place. Thank you on my right. Thank you, sister. On my left as well. Thank you, thank you. Many hands, thank you. There's another group of us. Some of you may have drifted away from Christ because of your crisis of faith. and you want to take this special opportunity to rededicate your life back to Christ again, like what Thomas did. If that's you, I want you to lift your hands as well, all over this place. If that's you, lift your hands quickly. I don't want to miss you out. It's very important for you. On Resurrection Sunday, you want to rededicate your life back to God again. Somehow, because of crisis of faith, you have walked away. Today you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to come back. I want Christ to come back into my life again. Lift your hands if that's you, quickly. Lift it up and put it down. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Quickly. Lift your hands and put it down. One last group of you. I want to address those of you who have yet to receive Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. Now, it's not by chance you are here today. Like Thomas, you may have your question because you cannot see Christ physically. But because you have heard Christ's story from the Bible, heard about Christ from your friend, and somehow faith is arising in your heart today to accept Jesus Christ into your life. Yes, you want to move beyond knowing Jesus as a historical figure to having Jesus Christ as your God and King. And you sense in your heart that God wants you to join His family, to be part of His purpose and plan for you. You want to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want you to lift your hands all over this place. Thank you. Lift your hands right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. I see two hands, three hands. Thank you. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior. You have never done this before, but today you want to do that. Lift your hands right now, quickly, all over this place. Lift your hands if that's you. I saw three hands behind. Thank you. Anyone else, quickly? On Resurrection Sunday, you want to receive Jesus into your life. If that's your desire, lift your hands quickly. Yes, I see your hand on my right, right behind. I see you. Thank you for waving. Thank you. Anyone else, quickly? Church, would you stand all over this place right now? As the team leads us right now, those of you raise your hand, you want to experience the resurrection power of Jesus in your life. If you're going through a crisis of faith that's shaken you, you want God to come back into your life again. You want Christ to be your Lord and God. If that's you, I want you, wherever you are right now, to come to the altar. I want to pray with you. I want to believe for the resurrection power to touch you. And for the three of you who raise your hands right behind, I want you to come as well. It's very important for you to come. I want to pray for you to make sure that Christ becomes your Lord and God. All right, for three of you, raise your hands behind. Gracious, if you brought your friend, can you do me a favor right now? Turn to your neighbor on your left and right. Talk to them right now and say, hey, do you need prayer? If you need prayer, I'll walk down with you to the altar. I'll walk down with you if you need prayer. Do me a favor right now, gracious. Turn around and ask your friends on your left and right. Do you need prayer? If you need prayer, I will walk down with you. Because I cannot reach your friends for you. Do me the favor right now. Ask your friend for me. Ask them right now if they need prayer. If you want Jesus, just bring them down here right now. We are here to pray with you. There are pastors and leaders right here to pray for you. So do me the honor, the favor, ask your friend. If you need prayer, bring them down quickly as the team leads us.
A light broke through. A light broke through my shattered soul. Such grace I find.
That's right, come right
in
now.
You,
if you need prayer, you come. The resurrection
you
power of Jesus is here.
So now I see for all eternity. A light broke through, a light broke through my shattered soul. Such grace I find in you alone. You paid the price, so now I sing for all eternity. Jesus is risen, the curse is broken. Death, oh death, where is your sting?
Lift up our voices and declare,
praise to my Savior, I am forgiven. My hope is found in Christ. Jesus is risen. your sting. Praise to my Savior, I am forgiven.